Okay, please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. Tonight we find ourselves in chapter number 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And here the concern is with falsehood creeping into the church at Corinth under the guise of Christianity and Christian practice. So let's read it. The Holy Spirit says here in verse number 1, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." Okay, God's name is jealous with a capital J. Read that back in the book of Exodus. And the fact is, love leads to jealousy. If you're not jealous, you're not in love. God loves his people. God's ministers love the people to whom they minister. And when God sees his people going after other gods, other religions, other amusements, other deities, other objects of worship, it provokes him to jealousy. "I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Okay. The nation of Israel was the wife of God the Father in the Old Testament times and will be again in the age to come. You read that in Jeremiah chapter 3, you read that in Isaiah 54, and other places in your Bible. Of the New Testament church will be the wife, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will take place at the marriage of the Lamb. You read about that in Revelation chapters 19 and 20 and so forth. But in the meantime, we are reckoned one with him, Ephesians 5. We are reckoned as having a husband-wife relationship, Ephesians 5. But we are currently espoused to our bridegroom. Okay? And this is the point of instruction right here that we're reading today. So what would you think if a young lady in the months or days leading up to her wedding was found having intimate relations with another man? What a horrible thing that would be. What a violation of all that is pure and holy that would be. Well, brothers and sisters, as we make our way towards heaven's shore, as we make our way toward the land of endless day, if we are indeed, as the scripture says, pledged to, promised to, purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ, well, what a violation of all that is right, all that is pure, all that is holy, should we, as Jesus Christ's bride, be found having relations with other gods, other objects of worship, other religions, other affections? It is the desire of the Holy Spirit to present us as a chaste virgin to Christ. That is, one who is undefiled, unmolested, one who has not known the love and embrace of a rival, but one who is fully and completely given over to the object of their eternal and abiding love. Verse number 3. Bible says, but I fear lest by any means." Okay, and that's what the devil's going to use. He'll use any means. "Lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now think with me, please. The devil did not offer Eve a handgun, a bottle of liquor, a marijuana cigarette, or a dirty magazine. The devil did not offer Eve an atom bomb, a fast car, a new dress, a butcher knife. The devil did not offer Eve Buddhism, Hinduism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnessism, humanism, communism, or any other ism you might want to name. What he offered Eve was an appeal to place herself in the position of authority rather than the word of God being her authority. That's what he did. Yea, hath God said, Eve, you've been kept down too long. Eve, you deserve to be as God. Eve, you deserve to take those blinders off and see what I can see. The fruit, that's not the issue. It doesn't make one bit of difference what kind of fruit was on that tree, or what fruit tree it was. It doesn't make one bit of difference. What matters is that woman and that man in that garden abandoned their faith in the words that God had spoken and sought to place themselves in the governing authoritative position over their own lives. And when they did so, they brought ruin upon themselves and their descendants. Now, let me ask you something. Is not the issue of this day and every day, is not the issue of this age and every age the very same issue? Satan's desire is to corrupt you as he corrupted Eve, as he corrupted Adam. His desire is to beguile you as he beguiled Eve, as he beguiled Adam. His desire is through subtlety to alter your mind so that you will not with childlike simplicity trust the words of Jesus Christ, but will rather labor to exalt yourself to the place of authority over your own life, that you might have the preeminence, that you might have the preeminence rather than Jesus Christ. Okay, well, think with me. The Bible says, ye must be born again. A religious man says, I'm a good person. The Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. A religious man says, well, I haven't been all that bad. The Bible says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. A religious man says, there are many equal paths to eternal life, all of them paved with sincerity. The Bible says, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. A religious man says, salvation comes through this religion, this church, that church. The Bible says, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Hebrews 1:8, 1 John 5:7, 1 John 3:16, Acts 20:28, John 5:17 and 18, 1 Timothy 3:16, etc., etc. Religious men say, he was a good man. He was a good teacher. The Bible says, let your women keep silence in the church. Religious women say, well, I have every right to be pastor. God told me I could be. Listen very carefully. Every one of those traps and errors that I've just named are set by people who are not drunkards, they're not drug addicts, not murderers, not thieves, not prison inmates, not child molesters. Every one of those pits are laid by sincere, moral, religious people who say nice things about God and who are trying to help their fellow man. pretty subtle, isn't it? It's pretty beguiling, isn't it? Now, I've got to remind you again, the devil did not invite Eve to a bar. He did not invite Eve to a dance. He did not invite Eve to a disco club. All of that stuff comes after, comes later. Where did it begin? Ye shall be as gods. Don't submit yourself to the word of God. Become your own God. Don't live according to the scripture. Live according to how you want to live and claim that you're serving God. That is the devil's method. It's always been the devil's method. Right now, you have a choice. You could listen to country and Western singers on the radio singing about adultery and drunkenness and waving their flag. That is not Satan's trap. That's where people end up who have fallen into Satan's trap. Right now, you could turn on a rock and roll radio station and you could listen to people singing about every possible form of fornication and rebellion. That's not Satan's trap. That's where people go who have fallen into Satan's trap. You could turn on a rap station and you could hear people chanting about killing policemen and defiling women and defiling themselves and hating this person, hating that person because this person hates that person and that person hates this. I mean, you know how it goes. But that's not Satan's trap. That's where people end up who have fallen into Satan's trap. Satan's trap, it's simple. God spoke. Man disagrees. Then man, having set his own self as the final authority rather than the Bible, that man then says, that woman then says, I'm right with God. It's amazing. There's not one word in the Bible about salvation coming through water baptism. Not one word in the Bible about sprinkling babies. Not one place in the Bible where you find the term sovereign God. It's not there. Not one word in the Bible about earning eternal life by selling pamphlets door to door. Not one word in the Bible about celestial marriage and secret undergarments and all that nonsense. Not one word in the Bible about any of that stuff. Well, then why do people do that and claim to be following God, claim to be right with God? There's no such thing in the Bible as sacraments. There's no such thing in the Bible as mass. There's no such thing in the Bible as confession to a priest. There's no such thing in the Bible as purgatory. You say, well, then where do people get all that stuff? They just make it up. And having made it up, they say that it's God. It's the way to heaven. It's salvation. It's eternal life. So why do they do that? They're beguiled. Why do they do that? They were subtly misled. Why do they do that? Their minds have been corrupted. Verse number 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. There's plenty of people preaching a Jesus that isn't the Jesus of the Bible. Every one of these ecumenical flop-doodle made-for-TV prayer meetings has a Jesus that is not virgin-born, is not King of Kings, is not Lord of Lords, does not look at all the other gods and say, oh, you're nothing, you're worthless, you're false, you're a lie. That's the Jesus of the Bible. He died on a cross to pay for the sins of the whole world. There's no other way to heaven. He's risen from the dead. He's coming again to destroy his enemies and set up his kingdom. Now, so if the Jesus preached in your liberal church is not that Jesus, you got another Jesus. If the Jesus embraced by your religion isn't that Jesus, you got another Jesus. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received. Okay? You got people trying to get you to receive a spirit after you're saved. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 says, everybody that's saved got the Holy Spirit the minute they got saved. Romans 8 and 9 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Jesus Christ. So who is this trying to get me to babble nonsense syllables in hopes of getting a spirit when I've already got the Holy Spirit? Or another gospel, which ye have not accepted. You know, there are plenty of gospels out there. Mormons, they have a gospel. The JWs have a gospel. The liberals have a gospel. The Unitarians have a gospel. But the gospel, according to the Bible, is that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried, and the third day Jesus rose again, according to the scriptures. Now, what is your gospel? It's not that one. You got another one. Okay, well, here's what he feared. Watch. Verse 2. I'm jealous. Verse 3. I'm afraid. Verse 4. Ye might well bear with him. He was afraid the day would come when the people at Corinth and the people in our churches today would think that it was a sign of being godly to tolerate the preaching of another Jesus, and to tolerate the offering of another spirit, and to tolerate the proclamation of another gospel. He feared that the day would come when you would bear with these false teachers instead of rebuking them soundly. That's what he was afraid of. So how goes it in your church? Is false teaching exposed for what it is? Are false gospels rebuked for what they are? Is the proclamation of another Jesus condemned in no uncertain terms? Well, Brother Bob, I just don't think that would be nice. I don't think that would be loving. After all, they're religious people, and they believe in God just like we do, and they're trying their best. All right. Let's look at the Bible, shall we? Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, what are you going to do with that? That has to be your position on people who say water saves instead of Jesus saves, on people who say covenants save instead of Jesus saves, on people who say sacraments save instead of Jesus saves, on people who say celestial marriage and baptism for the dead saves, not Jesus saves, on people who say good works save, not Jesus saves, on people who say everybody gets saved anyway instead of saying Jesus saves. You have to count them as accursed, just as you would the devil himself. All right, verse number 5. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that I might be exalted, that ye might be exalted? because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. So here's what he says. I can talk this way with you because I labored for you to win you to Jesus Christ, to teach you the word, to build that local church for you. And I didn't even let you pay me for it. So read some more. Verse 9. And when I was present with you and wanted, he had needs, any preacher would, any missionary would, and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supply. And in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Because I love you not? God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Again, he's just saying, I'm not taking your money, not your money, because I don't want to lose my liberty to tell you what is right and what is wrong, to have you never perceive that I have any ulterior motive. He doesn't want them to think he's being sneaky or he's got some other reason for being there. Okay, that's the point of these words. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, you can't make sense of this any other way than to just take it like it's written. Satan has ministers. His ministers are righteous people. His ministers work marvelous works. And yet the Bible says they belong to the devil because they turn your trust and confidence away from faith in Jesus Christ to faith in the minister or in the miracle or in yourself. And if Paul was afraid in his day, that people would fall for that kind of foolishness, I'm glad he didn't live to see our day. Brother, sister, would you please think with me now, rationally and intelligently, just for a moment. Jesus had the gift of healing. He healed all the sick people. No duds, no failures. Peter had only to walk by someone and his very shadow would heal them. Who are these men on your radio and TV and in the churches and various communities who claim to have the power to heal? And they're not emptying hospitals, emptying nursing homes, emptying cancer wards, emptying children's infirmaries. Who are they? They are making you pay money to sit through a sideshow and stand in line only to walk away not healed and to be told it's your fault because you don't have enough faith. Now, why would you let yourself be taken in by that kind of a con job? Why? What could be any funnier than a healer wearing glasses? What could be any funnier than a healer with gray hair? What could be any funnier than a healer who's burying his wife, building a hospital? Don't you get it? But I saw him do some miracles one time, and yeah, sure you did. We've all been to magic shows. We've all been to plays. We've all watched movies. If you got the power to heal, go to the intensive care unit of your local hospital and clean it out. Heal. You say those people, they don't have any faith. Lazarus, man, he was dead. He couldn't exercise any faith. Jesus raised him from the dead. Eutychus was dead. He couldn't exercise any faith. Paul raised him from the dead. Well, I saw a man one time and he blew on people and they fell over backwards. Well, okay, that's right out of the Bible, isn't it? Find it. Find it in the Word of God. Find slaying in the Spirit in the Bible. Find waving your coat at people in the Bible and watching them fall over like fools. Where is it? It's not in the Word of God. So why do you go for it? Well, he's just such a good man. He's such a nice man. He's so powerful. And I know, I know. It's just a pretty piece of fruit hanging there, isn't it? It's so enticing. It's so beguiling. It's so appealing. It's so non-biblical. But since when did the Bible matter, right? Come on now. That's the whole issue. That's the whole issue. Those of you that know these men are frauds, you know they're frauds because your confidence is in the Bible. Those of you who are angry with me, the reason you're angry with me is that your confidence is in your miracle-working healer, not in the Bible. And the fact that you listen to this guy every day of your life and have been going to his church for months and have been pumping money into his extravagant lifestyle, and you're still getting old, and you're still sick, and you're still poor, does that not ever kind of tap you on the shoulder and say, hello, you're being conned by a minister of Satan? I'll leave you with that. Just something to think about. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word, for your warnings, for opening our eyes to the foolishness that goes on in the name of religion. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes open, keep our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Let the Word of God always be our final authority. Let us not to look to any other source for authority in how we are to live our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.